Talk Comics back on the air and in your ear. It is the 85th episode. Is that right? Yes, it is. Thanks for the response, guys. 85 episodes in.
This totally is. I'm so glad to have been here for three of them.
That's Comic Canuck there weighing in, but we'll get to him in a bit. This episode is called A Dork Knight Rises.
Yes.
Yes, and we got with us Brett.
Who is not the Dork Knight in this case, so I'll happily take that.
Yeah, I'm Mo. We got Keith.
Yes, I'm here. I'm Keithy Kelly, if this is The Dork Knight Rises.
Oh, excellent. We got Chris back.
Hey, I'm here. And how can you not be a dork? You're already on a comics podcast for 85 episodes.
Yeah, and then we have Chris Duker, the dork who puts the dork in A Dork Knight Rises. Comic Canuck, how you doing?
I am here from comicbooktherapy.com.
Comicbooktherapy.com, our buddy's over there. All right, guys, so of course it's The Dork Knight Rises because we're going to be talking about the dorkiest characters in comic books and also talk a little bit about what characters still need a book review. But while Comic Book Therapy is a wonderful site, another site that's terrific is our sponsor for the news, Comicosity, who's also a good site. Both of those are terrific sites to go visit. Comicosity is a proud sponsor of our news, and our news section is called The Weekly News with Cover Boy K.
All right, well, let's hit some news. We are only a week away from San Diego Comic-Con. Some of you may have heard of it. So a lot of news is kind of sitting from the big companies until we get to that. We're in the Image Convention hangover, pre-San Diego. But ahead of San Diego, George Perez has gone boom. George Perez has signed an exclusive contract with Boom Studios. So he will start right away with some consultants work, some pinups, covers, and we'll be developing creator-owned work there as well. Walking away from the big two, George Perez was one of the ones that was pretty vocal about his challenges at DC, but has basically said that Marvel's not a whole lot different.
No, well, you know what? He also could have written a better Action Comics. That might have helped.
Superman was his, but
Superman.
His complaint, and well, I mean, his defense for that was that that editorial was just a mess and no one was telling him what was going on in Action Comics.
No, that's not the case. Sorry, Superman was his, but you know what it was? I mean, that may have been the case. I'm sure it was, but really the issue is just that his writing style is stuck in a decade and a half, 2 decades ago. Too wordy, too many balloons, too many, you know, that was the issue.
That book was crazy overwritten. But the guy that
McFarlane thought it was overwritten.
But Joe Casey didn't think it was overwritten.
Joe Casey said, hey, you could add a couple more text boxes here. There's still some art showing through.
Yeah.
All right, Keith, what else we got?
All right, Steve Siegel and Teddy Christensen have announced a new graphic novel. And I knew this one's just for Mo. This one is all Mo. The graphic novel is called Genius, and I don't know if we've seen a date on it. It is about it will have to do with a guy who is obsessed with Albert Einstein.
Alpha Comics can consider my pre-order put in now.
All right, and Marvel has launched Share Your Universe. This is a drive for younger comic fans to start generating some new ones. They are giving away a ton of content across many platforms, many formats. This includes episodes of some Marvel animated shows through Xbox and Xbox Video. We're getting free print comics. We're getting free comics through the Marvel app and Marvel Kids, extra comics through Marvel Unlimited. All of this aimed at young audiences.
My question for you is, do you know, are they giving out some free books of the Marvel Now books? Are some of those going to be free?
No, this is all new content. This is all content that is specifically made for this.
Actually theoretically give to a kid, unlike, absolutely, say, an issue of Iron Man or whatever, which some parents might be hesitant given the content.
Absolutely. And the first one I read, I've only read one of the ones that came out free through Comixology. It was the Thor written by Louise Simonson, but very much all audiences, not tied to any continuities. It is very It's not even tied to the film continuity, which is a bit surprising to me. It is just a pure Thor, and he hits the stick against the ground and turns back into Donald Blake. It is very, very open for new readers. But yeah, all aimed for preteen. Now, Brett, you've got your Access All Ages column. Are you going to be looking at these?
Oh yeah, for sure. I mean, that'll probably be the top news story in there.
Fantastic. Great color commentary here, Brett.
Yeah, with that kind of enthusiasm, Brett.
Yes, I will also write.
What else we got going on, Keith?
And the last bit in the news is Marvel's Infinity line. They have now launched the paid versions of Infinity. So we've seen Wolverine as the first one. We have also seen the announcement of Iron Man.
I love that one, Keith, just because it's not just Wolverine. It's like Wolverine something in Japan.
Wolverine something in Japan. That is the title.
Yeah, that's it.
Wanted, is it?
Japan's Most Wanted, the title. Wolverine, Japan's Most Wanted.
Japan's Most Wanted.
Wolverine, and the words Wolverine and the word Japan is in there.
Correct. Wolverine, Japan's
Most Wanted. Who would have
thought it? we're now in an episode of Keith just repeats the same four words over and over, which is not even as good as looking stuff up. We're also getting Iron Man Fatal Frontier, which is Kieran Gillen, and we'll see that in a couple of months' time. We're also seeing the first crossover. One of the Infinity books will tie to Guardians of the Galaxy number 8, confirming that Infinity is indeed in some form of continuity as much as Marvel cares that anything is.
Yeah. that's a good point.
Now, before we move on from Infinity, now, I read the first Infinity, but I think I'm the only one because I have just big bags of money laying around that I can afford to buy.
I'm reading it.
You're reading it. Duker's reading it right now. That's why he'll be quiet through most of the episode.
Yeah, no, which will be great. Brett actually read it already, Keith, as well.
Okay, Brett read it, and I'm going to say that I did read it. I wanted to see what they were doing. I won't be plunking this money down regularly because it's the same kind of content as Batman 66. It is in that format that everyone copied from Valentine, and it's worth 99 cents to me.
Yeah, don't retell me the story. Just get into it.
Yeah, well, basically the thing is, it's a $3. That's the thing I think that a lot of people have an issue with. Marvel has in the past charged between 99 cents and $1.99. So they have charged more than DC, with DC's being exclusively 99 cents. Marvel has charged, but now they're going up to $3 a pop for the same amount of content. And I understand from those people who I've talked to, they've read this book in about 5 minutes. It'll take Duke or longer because he's not that bright, but, I'm sorry, was that out loud? But,
I'd say it's slightly more content than one of the DC ones is, but it's only slightly.
Yeah. Not $2 more.
No.
I am really it rises.
I completely to me it was exactly Batman 66, pretty much. And as long as it's exactly Batman 66, then yeah, $2.99 is really a bad price.
Can we segue into something here?
What's that?
The fact that digital comics should not be any more than $2 at the most.
Well, I mean, I think that's kind of the point,
you can partly blame your local comic shop for that. God bless them. Well, but yes, that's why.
It pisses me off that these guys have no distribution, no production, no printing costs, and yet they're charging us the same as you would get in your comic shop. And it's ridiculous.
Except that there is a distribution cost. If you buy this in the app, or if you buy it in the Play app, there is a 30% of the cover price,
Keith,
of the cost.
I'm with you, and I get it.
Is a distribution cost.
Yes.
And then Comixology...
Which is why I said...
So again, you're actually... That $3, if you buy it through the app, only 30% roughly is going... Actually, not even 30%. About 30-35% is actually going to the company, which is about what they get in the print copy.
You know what? I'm with you there, man, and I totally get it. And I get that's I know the markup, but which is why I say it should be no more than $2 at the most. But the thing is, these guys, if you take, say, just DC and Marvel, they have so much money in their pocket that they can afford to not charge $2.99 or $3.99 for an issue of a digital comic. It's ridiculous.
I've never felt good about paying $2.99 for a Wolverine comic.
That is totally fair.
After Duker's statement, it's a good time to remind our listeners internationally that we are Canadian. So Duker's comments that do not fit with the capitalist view of the world, where the big corporation, because they have enough already, should really be kicking back something.
I'll challenge anyone to challenge me on that.
Not a fan of Disney, are you?
And I'm wearing a cowboy hat, so I'm just saying.
Yeah. Well, we'll forgive you for that. Our other Chris doesn't have a cowboy hat on, which is weird. He usually has some sort of hat on. Not a cowboy, but, a little throwback to the 40s.
He does often bring a fedora.
I'm indoors.
All right, what else we got going?
A hat indoors. And that's the news.
All right, that's the news. Okay. So no $3 for digital. I think that's pretty much unanimous. All right, let's move on here. To the reviews, because it's reviews time. Of course, the reviews of those We Talk Comics are called We Views, because Keith, we are
here. I come to save the day,
saving you from bad comics.
Absolutely. So we got a few books here to talk about, Brett. Let's open it up. Why don't you talk about Ghosted, Joshua Williamson, Goran Suduska, and Miroslav Mira. God, I'm saying those wrong.
I'm so happy that you actually go and pronounce all the names, because really saves me from having to do that and butcher them myself. So, Ghosted, I think it's a pretty interesting book. The one thing that I will say about Ghosted is it didn't really stick with me all that much. I found it to be pretty typical of a lot of the Image books that are coming out right now. Certainly quality different than anything you'd read from a Marvel or DC. The art's pretty good. The story's definitely interesting. I like some of the elements of it. I'm not 100% sure that I can see that they have enough content for a regular series, but I suppose that Joshua Williamson will just have to sell me on it. But I mean, the first issue was good. And it's likely that I'll be back, but again, I could just as easily forget about it.
How about you, Duker?
I didn't read it.
Keith?
I liked it. It's hitting some familiar ground for sure. Some of the plot points don't make a whole lot of sense to me. he's a regular guy who doesn't believe in the supernatural, but yet knows an entire team of people who do. And here's a phrase that has never been used in the podcast, because it's an homage to Chris, forced prison sex on the first page.
What?
Page one.
The other Chris.
I know. But still.
Well, it's not monkeys on the first page.
No. No, or zombies.
It's forced prison sex on the first page.
No, I think there is no actual forced prison sex on the first page, Keith.
I thought it was somebody getting shanked.
Yeah, there's somebody getting shanked.
That's not what's happening on the page.
What's that?
That's not what's happening.
It's Brett's wet dream.
Yes, it is, Keith. That is exactly what's happening.
I'm with Keith on this one. I'm pretty sure there is bum sex going on there.
No, there isn't. I'm telling you. The guy's getting shanked in the shower.
They're not in the shower, and he's got his hand grabbing the other guy's hair, and he's bent over against the bars. And his pants are down. I'm not entirely sure. I don't know what you need else to be happening in that scene. But that's...
And he's saying, you're next.
That's how we're opening this book, yeah.
Yep.
So it was a bit of a shocking way to this come.
I still don't see it. I'm looking at it right now. I am looking at it right now, and that is not there. Maybe it's further in, but it's certainly not in the first page.
It's the very first page. There's a shower scene on the second page. That's not what's on the first page. I can't believe
well, the shower scene definitely has somebody getting shanked.
Oh, there it is. Holy crap, that's not needed.
How the hell did you miss that?
Oh, I think I just blessedly put it out of my mind. I'll still recommend the book.
So it's an odd book. Is it? If it's an ongoing, I don't think I'm around. I'm not sure.
It doesn't seem like it has the legs for an ongoing.
Yeah, it feels like a 4 or 6. So we'll see where they go. Yeah, it's got some clunky stuff to it, but pretty good storytelling and mega violent and a good twist ending. So I'll probably try out the second issue.
I might as well go since I said I'll recommend it. I will. I like the dialogue a lot. I think it's a little bit weird. The art style is very realistic with really cartoony heads and faces. So that threw me off a little bit. I don't think that really fits everything. But what I like is every time I thought I knew what a character was or where they were going to go, they would be a little twist on their personality. So they wouldn't quite end up where I thought they were going to end up, but I didn't find it to be too much of a stretch for person. It's just an interesting way to get to know them. So I thought it was a very high quality book, not spectacular, but definitely one I like. And I think people who don't mind forced sex in prison will probably enjoy this book. If that doesn't offend you, if you were a fan of Oz, you'll enjoy this.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I'd describe it as Thief of Thieves with a slight supernatural twist. And as you know, I can't recommend Thief of Thieves enough. So I really did enjoy this book. I can't wait to see where they're going and how long they can stretch this out. Fun book. I'm down for the series.
Okay. Duker, what did you think of Sheltered?
Okay. You know what? Let me just put it this way, you guys. I have had no time to review any of the books this week. I apologize in advance. Keep going.
So, Duker doesn't love comics. Keith, who got forced into an unnecessary sexual situation in this book?
Which book are we on? I lost track.
Sheltered.
Come on.
That's right. I should show more professionalism than the guy who didn't read any of the books. I really, really like this book. I was really taken with this book. I was interested in what they're setting up. I think they were treating the prepper movement as reasonable people doing some kind of a little bit out there things. No one seems crazy in this book. It's not, you know, cliche ultra conservative stuff. I was intrigued. I'm definitely in for this book. I was very much enjoyed it.
I thought Brisson had a really sharp dialogue on this one. I definitely enjoyed this book as well. One of the things I really like about this was this felt like, you know, so many of these books, they are so far removed from reality. This felt like something that could exactly happen. Like this felt like something, if you're watching here about a documentary on this, you'd say, yeah, that's totally possible. It's could take place in the real world, even though it's a fantastical situation. And I like that a lot. So I think the art style is a little bit reminiscent of 90s independent comics. I don't think it's very strong. I think the art is a little bit weak, but the dialogue's very, very interesting. The concept is very, very smart. And it's definitely a recommendation as well from me. Another winner from Image. Keith? Chris?
I loved it. My only hesitation with this book is it feels like a long ride. I could easily see this premise stretching into 25 or 30 issues without a problem. And I'm in for that kind of thing, so I don't have a problem with that, but I can understand how somebody might not want to make a big chunk there. I found the backdrop of the shelters and the survivalist movement very interesting. Really, I wanted more of that before we even got into the more fantastical stuff that happens later in the issue. But I'm really interested to see where these characters go. There's several of them I want to know more about.
And Brett, why don't you give your review, but also why don't you tell everybody actually the concept of the book a little bit more, just because we're talking about and reviewing it, we keep on referencing this, but haven't explained it very well.
Well, a group of what's called preppers, people that are always preparing for the end of the world and such, and for the government to completely lose it and all that stuff, and so it's about a group that's preparing, and that's kind of as far as I want to go in that without giving away a major plot point, but I think that for me it was a really interesting concept to begin with. I mean, it's not even something that I would have even concepted in my mind. Like you, Mo, I think I probably struggled with the art a little bit, but the dialogue is so good, and really where the story goes is just so completely intriguing to me that there's no way that I wouldn't want to carry on. I hope it's a long run because, you know, it definitely can. I think it's definitely got legs for it. And one thing that I will say is that I'll get a chance to find out because just after San Diego, we'll be talking to Ed Brisson on the show.
Yeah, we'll have that. And there's also another big announcement, which we understand he's going to have as well.
He is going to be talking about a work on potentially another major book.
Okay, so we have lost Chris Duker here. Then again, as most of you can probably tell, he's never really here in the first place. So we're going to try and get him back onto the call. But meanwhile, let's move on here. Our last book, Keith did not get a chance to read it. I don't know if Duker did. What do you guys think?
Can I give his review for him?
Okay, go ahead.
Don't we have two books left? Sorry.
You're right. We have two books left. But I want to get to Ballistic next. I know Keith didn't get a chance. But Keith, give Duker's review.
I did not have a chance to read this book. Sorry, guys.
Oh. Were you busy?
I got the books late at the same time you did. And
yeah, exactly. Late at the same time we did. And I didn't have time.
Sorry, guys.
Yeah. Thanks, Duker. It's like he's here. Brett, let's talk about Ballistic.
All right. Wow. I'm not 100% sure that I could conceive of something this crazy in my life. This was just one of the wackiest. This reminds me of some of those Japanese movies that I watched, the ultra violence, where like nothing really makes any sense, but you got lots of people's hands getting cut off, lots of random blood spurting everywhere and that kind of thing. And so, yes, I liked it for that. There was some times where I didn't like it very much because it was just a little rough. But when I say rough, I primarily mean in the storytelling. But overall, I mean, Derek Robertson, he's a great penciler. So I'm totally, totally in for the art. And I think that the story is good enough for me to carry on, but most certainly the story is crazy enough for me to keep going.
Okay, this is, as you say, it's from an upcoming publisher, and publishers starting to put out actually quite a few books, and it looks very interesting, Black Mask. And the story is, the writer of this story, Adam Egypt Mortimer, and of course Derek Robertson, as Brett has mentioned, is on the pencils. Derek Robertson is probably in my top two or three all-time favorite Spider-Man artists. Like, his Spider-Man and his work on Spider-Man is, over the years, just remarkable. Hey, the Duker's back. So we're still in the middle of reviews, Duker. Don't worry. Ballistic. Brett, you nailed it, Brett. I mean, I have no idea what's going on. I almost didn't care because the art is so good and interesting. But at some point in time, you have to have some sort of storyline you can follow. I mean, all this is happening, and it's so wild and crazy. It's like an acid trip. If they explained it a little bit even, that'd be fine. They just throw you in this world, you know, 100 miles an hour with all this crazy, wacky stuff going on. Robertson's art is amazing, very different from his mainstream superhero work as well, showing his versatility, but it's still incredible without at all looking like a Spider-Man. But I just don't think I can quite come back to it.
See, I'm all there on this one. I love this book. I did not know I wanted David Cronenberg to direct Blade Runner before reading this comic book. And that's what this comic book feels like. A futuristic take on organic guns and intelligent living air conditioners. This is a crazy world. Anything can happen. Drugs are prevalent. A little bit of Trans Metro in there. I'm in it just for the ideas it presents. I'm not saying that it's going to present a coherent story all the way throughout, but it's going to be entertaining no matter what it is. It's going to be one of those books that I'm going to find one page every issue that I'm going to obsess a little bit over.
You know, Chris, I don't think it has a world of organic guns. I got the feeling that the lead main character had built this gun himself and it's the only gun like that out there. But that's
part
of it. No,
they kept saying Talkie Tech was expensive.
Well, actually, they didn't say it was expensive. They said it was retro.
It was rare.
It was retro, was what they said.
Okay.
That's part of the problem with the book. I just don't think that they kind of explained these concepts very well to us. I mean, is it retro? Is there more than one? Is it just that he built it? Is it in the walls, or is it just that he put it in the walls of that one house? Like, what's going on here? So,
I don't think
what's
you
his
need
background
to know to
little?
Enjoy what's going on.
I do. I mean, I do need to have that explained to me to enjoy what's going on. That's where it lost me. As much fun as it was, and as great as the art is, I need that in order to enjoy it, because it was too confusing.
And I thought the action sequences actually were very dynamic, and I could feel the kinetic energy in them.
Well, anyways, we're moving on from Ballistic. Yeah. Our last, the big book, I suppose probably the biggest book of the week. Brett, what did you think of Quantum and Woody from Valiant?
Oh, I totally read this.
Good. Duker actually had a chance to read a book, folks.
No, I was joking.
Oh, I knew that. James Asmus, I hope I said that. Asmus. Let's say Asmus. James Asmus is the writer of this one. Tom Fowler does the pencils with Jordi Belair on the inks, I suppose. Brett, what did you think?
I thought that this book was really funny. I haven't read much Quantum and Woody, perhaps an issue of the original series. And so I thought it was kind of interesting. I like the two characters. I enjoyed their interaction quite a bit. And I thought the art was quite good. Overall, this is probably the first. Now, I have since gotten into Exo Manowar, but this is probably the first Valiant issue that I've actually liked right off the bat and would say, yes, I will continue to read this book.
Duke? Oh, Keith?
Hey, it's me. I really, really enjoyed this. Much like the old, like the original Quantum of Woody, I did not read any of those black box text words. My brain just knocks them out. They are hugely wasted space on the page. I enjoy the two characters. I'm interested to see where this goes. It is two estranged brothers who are not genetically related, and some wacky adventures and some superpowers. So I'm looking forward to this. It is another win for Valiant.
Yeah, no, I really enjoyed this as well. You know, I'm a huge fan of the original Quantum and Woody, and certainly I thought this started off a little bit weak, a little bit forced. Not as subtle, I don't think, as the original. Not quite as clever dialogue, but I was laughing by the end. There was points that laughed, and it started to show some of the heart that on occasion broke through in the original series. What I really liked is that it's very, very close to what the original Valiant Quantum and Woody was. Like the storyline and the characters and the interplay, all of this feels familiar, but with a fresh coat of paint. They're not reinventing the characters, the situations, or any of it. All of it's almost the exact same, but just done with a new energy. There's a lot of energy to this book that I thought was really the best part of it. So I enjoyed it as well. I thought it definitely has me back. It's Valiant. You know I'm reading it. Chris.
Holy Christ, if you guys hadn't said Quanti and Woody so many times in your review, I would have thought we were reading another book. I really didn't enjoy this book. We fought for years over Quanti and Woody, me and Mo especially. He loves it. I never got it. I don't like it. It's like this new version takes every aspect of the old series and magnifies it, or every aspect I didn't like and magnifies it, and the little bit I did like, they dialed it back. Really didn't work for me. And the art style, it felt a little Ed McGuinness for me. Everyone has a little too broad of shoulders. Really didn't like this at all. I won't be back. I actually came in with a little smirk in my face before I heard the reviews, thinking, finally, Moe's going to have to retreat a little bit on this Quantum and Woody onslaught I felt for years, and I really thought this was poor quality, but obviously I might be wrong. I don't know, but I wouldn't recommend this to anybody.
Well, 3 out of 4 people certainly enjoyed it. You know, as far as the art, I agree. It's definitely, it wouldn't work for every book, but I think it's well suited for this book. It's good art. It's just not good art for a lot of books, but it is good art for this book.
Well,
if that makes any sense.
I will say that. I mean, Mo, you had the perfect out if you didn't like this book. I mean, the original creators are not involved.
I know. I know.
So if you didn't like it, you wouldn't like it. So I think it's great that you did. I was quite surprised that,
you know what the thing is?
Like
is that there's no question that these people, they're respecting the original book. And like I say, it's got more energy than the original book. I really think that's the best part of it. It's got a ton of energy to it, like a kinetic energy, like I say. So, all right, we're moving on here. Of course, this is called The Dork Knight Rises. Chris Duker, how are you doing?
Hey. What's up?
Let's get you involved here a little bit. When you think of dorky comic book characters or situations or events or costumes, whatever you think of, what are some of the things that pop into your mind right away?
Dorky heroes, you mean, or smillins?
Anything. Anything dorky.
Speedball, The Spot, Trapster. Where should I continue from there?
If you're going to go with dorky, though, you can't call him the Trapster. He's got to be Paste Pot Pete.
Yeah, totally got to be Paste Pot Pete.
Yep. Yeah, I agree. Paste Pot Pete. I agree. You're right.
You know, something like the Trapster or Paste Pot Pete, I'm almost going to give it a pass personally. Not that it isn't dorky, but it's the same thing like the Red Ghost in a Super Apes. It's like, okay, yeah, it's dorky, but it's so 60s. You know and that's
a lot know. Of people will disagree with me. Sorry to interrupt, Mo. As much as I actually do enjoy the character, at certain points, depending on who the writer is and where they want to take this character, is Plastic Man.
I'm just rereading Dark Knight Strikes Again, and there's a great bit in it where Elongated Man has to try to capture Plastic Man, and just the rivalry of their very similar but, you know, fairly different in a subtle way powers. And just that rivalry was really funny to me. But, I mean, Plastic Man, yeah, can be such a dorky character. He's so cartoony.
He is cartoony. But them always bring the rubber.
Okay, he's cartoony, but he's cartoony. Any character that stretches, I just think that's the lamest horsepower. Like, I just don't think you can make that cool. Elongated Man is just weird to say. But
at least Reed Richards has intellect out of the wazoo.
Yeah, that's right. And, so that's his other superpower.
And I just reread the Ultimate Fantastic Four, and they actually make more sense of Reed Richards' powers than I've ever had before, explaining that he doesn't have internal organs. I thought that actually made a whole lot more sense. And, Keith, that series you said you were rereading, Dark Knight Strikes Again.
The Dark Knight Returns.
Dark Knight.
My favorite description of Plastic Man, it's one I use going into any Plastic Man story just to get me in the mood. He's a nuclear bomb of crazy.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's when Grant Morrison was writing the JLA and he put him in there for comic relief, he said he's like Jim Carrey in The Mask. That's what that's how he saw the characterization. Like, just a character who's always trying to crack up the room and can't take anything serious. But what's his – the guy who actually gets me when I think of dorky characters in Plastic Man, not even Plastic Man, it's his sidekick there. What's his name? Like, Fuzzy Woodnicks or what the hell? His fat little sidekick
Woozy.
Dude.
Woozy.
What's that?
Woozy something.
Woozy. Woozy Woodnicks or something like that, or Woozy. Now, that's a dorky character.
Can I jump in?
Yeah. That's what you're here for.
I do have a few others, if it's okay. And I'll let you guys jump on these dorkiest slash most ridiculous characters that probably should have been killed by villains or others long ago. Catman.
No.
Boomerang. Boomerang.
No. That was fighting words.
Boomerang, pre and
post. Catman, what the hell are you? Catman's awesome.
Boomerang, pre and post New 52. Aunt May, Jimmy Olsen, and Crypto the dog.
That's what it says on the cover of his book, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now you're taking out Crypto, but the horse stays. That's your logic.
What's that?
You're taking out the dog, but the horse stays.
Goddamn right.
All of the super pets start with die, the horse, except for the monkey and Streaky. those two get to live.
Hey, I'm just putting it there for discussion.
What's
boys.
Your problem with Catman? I say Catman is somebody. He's a cool, tough brawler character, a former boxer. Just kind of, I love Catman.
Catman, we're gonna have an op-ed from Matt next week. We do too much.
Think of the Catman. Think of the Catman when he was fat and on pop and chocolate bars. When Green Arrow kicked his butt and said, "Get your act together."
Okay, but that was a story.
Exactly. So what I'm saying is, you can't just go from that to amazing, awesome dude who, by the way, I admit, was good for a while, but now I'm just tired of him. Until Catman fights Batman in a 5-issue series with 10 other books connected to it that you have to buy to continue the story, then I'm in on it.
Well, oh, you mean when Marvel takes over?
Batman. Yeah,
and Catman, yeah. Brett, you've been awfully silent over here. Some responses to some of that you've heard here.
Well, I guess I'd just say I'm not surprised, you know, given where it's coming from in that case.
Oh,
but,
I hate you.
Most everyone does. You know, I mean, obviously, it's all just personal. I guess when I think about these characters, I mean, okay, most of them are kind of lame, but I don't think of them as you know, extreme dorkiness. You know, I mean, what? we're not talking about a story of Capwolf epic proportions of dorkiness. You know, I mean, Catman is not that epic. Let's be honest, right?
Oh, and that's the other thing. I mean,
Spot Pete is not that epic.
No, it's just a bad name, but it's so 60s, like I said. Red goes. Well, I mean,
it's
like Speedball. But Speedball, yes, he's a dork, but he was created to be a dork. Everything about him is meant to be a dork. So can you blame him for that? It's almost more like when they create a character that's meant to be something else and is a dork anyways. That's more the characters that to me that I find really, you know. I mean, who's gonna blame Ambush Bug for being a dork? Or Amazing Man, you know.
Ambush Bug's my favorite.
Well, everybody loves Ambush Bug. Come
Ambush
on.
Bug's
because
on
his
my
name
list.
Is Ambush Bug. Surprise!
Ambush Bug's on your list.
Does anyone
list.
Like his current backup features in almost every DC in New 52 book? You love those?
I love those.
Oh, not even a little.
They're feeling forced. They're not feeling ambushy, buggy enough for me.
I don't read them in the least. I
do. It's a great way for me to know exactly. It is so well done in just a couple pages. Reading that monthly, I can follow the entire 52 universe. It's great. They do a great job with those. What else you got, Ben?
I actually like those as well. I just kind of wish they weren't Ambush Bug. They don't feel Ambush Buggy to me.
Yeah, wow.
He doesn't break
also,
the fourth wall quite
enough. What's the calendar man or whatever that's there too? And is like the correspondent on the street talking to people and he's the serial killer? That doesn't feel very calendar man to me either, but they still do it.
What? Why not? Is that normal?
Beck, what do you got on your list here?
Oh, you know what? I was just going to bring up one of my favorite dorky characters of all time. He hasn't appeared in Marvel in a really long time, and I miss him. The Humbug. We need more bum superheroes in comics. As it is, we have two homeless characters, Humbug and D-Man, none of which make regular appearances. The homeless community needs a spokesman. I would buy this a book with more homeless characters. And I don't count the movement. I think they have.
Didn't we review a book where there was a homeless character a while back?
That was just Joe Mulvey.
My mistake. That was Mulvey. Good point.
I'm just confused because I thought that Humbug was in Heroes for Hire in one of its last iterations in like 2005 or something like that. But I don't remember him being homeless. Don't get me wrong. I mean, the ability to talk to like cockroaches was not terribly impressive for anything. But
he may have become one of the working poor brats. Show some
that. Absolutely, caring. That's possible.
I'm glad that 9 years ago he was on the rebound. My math is really, really
that's
bad.
That's quite a trajectory he's got happening.
That's right.
Now, do you guys remember, speaking of the rebound, do you guys remember Leapfrog, who made a couple appearances there in Spider-Man, Amazing Spider-Man?
Oh, my God.
The fat.
Not a couple. A whole bunch. I love Frog.
Why are you trying to kill us here?
His appearance in Spider Island was awesome.
He was in Spider Island?
It was so fantastic.
Really?
Yeah, he was in one of the one-shot issues of Spider Island.
That's true.
Awesome.
I agree with Keith.
Now Mo has to read the Spider Island.
Exactly. Now, I've actually been wanting to because I enjoy Superior Spider-Man so much now. I actually want to go back and read Spider Island. I've been itching to. Yeah, I'm going to throw out characters I think are tremendously dorky. Like I say, I have a tendency to fall towards the characters that they weren't created with the idea of being dorky, like Leapfrog. So for me, the Wrecking Crew, every single one of them, Cannonball, or what's his name?
Piledriver.
Piledriver. What are the names? Piledriver. Bulldozer.
Absorbing Man?
No, not Absorbing Man. Bulldozer. What is it? Thunderball or something like that? Or Thunder? What is his name?
Yeah, Thunderball.
Yeah. And what's the last one? The leader there? The Wrecking? Mr. Wrecker or something like that? What the hell is it?
I think it's just The Wrecker. Right?
The Wrecker.
With the crowbar?
Crowbar, yeah. Those guys. That is a lame gimmick.
Is how I feel every time I see Mo work.
It's the crowbar.
Your wife also nicknames me The Wrecker. Anyways.
It's true, actually. I take pride in that.
Anyways, what I was trying to say is, those guys weren't created to be geeks. But talk about what a geeky concept. A bunch of guys on a crew that crowbars and jackhammers and it's like stupid powers, stupid costumes, stupid concept. That to me is that's the dork. There's a dork storm. Wrecking Crew, Brett.
Yep.
I will say this: any villain.
Everything Brett says is a word picture.
What?
1,000.
Any villain that appeared in the original Secret Wars will always have a place in my heart. So we can't get rid of the Wrecking Crew.
Well, they've had some good appearances. I mean, they've also had some bad appearances. I mean, but how many villains really have not had bad moments unless you are absolutely like Dr. Doom or Darkseid? And frankly, even then, you've probably had some pretty bad moments. But,
well, Dr. Doom had the entire first Fantastic Four movie.
yeah.
I don't remember Dr. Doom in that.
Please just that's a good thing.
You're that's a survival thing.
There was some sort of character that may have started with a D, but there was no Doom in that, man.
That's for sure. Brett, you gotta have one then. Throw one out here.
All right. Well, I don't really have characters per se, but I do have a couple of series that were completely weird and wrong. Now, in about 2004, Marvel put out a series, or I think it was 2004, but Nick Fury and the Howling Commandos. Only
bad series, bad Brett.
They turned them into wolves. Every one of the characters was a wolf.
How did I miss that?
Not just wolves, man. They had the Frankenstein monster in there.
That's right.
They had the living mummy. And it was a second division of S.H.I.E.L.D. that was run by Clay Merrill. Really, really, truly bad series. I just reread that.
That's the best part. You read it.
You went, this is horrible. I should read it again just to make sure it's as bad as I think. I have that much spare time.
I couldn't even get through two issues of it because it was so horrific. But you could reread it. That's excellent.
Punished.
I love it.
Punishment. I did something bad, I think, that I needed to punish myself. Oh.
Another one that I have is, again, Marvel, because they seem to, especially in their miniseries, I mean, I will always blame their miniseries for something going wrong in a lot of cases, but they came up with a concept, like, when they did Marvel Zombies, that was fine, because they made it something, but I think they were trying with this case, Marvel Megamorphs. It's a very, like, anime-style art thing. And basically, they've turned all of their superheroes into giant robots. And it's horrible, to say the least. But it's just one of those cases where you just kind of have to say to yourself, why would you do that? Did you really think that that was going to fail or to succeed?
I got an answer. It was a tie-in to the toy line Megamorph.
Oh, well, that makes perfect sense.
A short-lived tie-in, but that's why we only ever got a limited series out of them.
Now, if I say to you, Duker, if I say to you the Punisher, his villain, the Russian, I think is dorky. Because, yes, he's 8 foot tall, he's jacked up to a huge, got a scar on his face, but he has a red and white striped t-shirt, and anybody in a striped t-shirt looks like a dork. What do you think?
I say if you're the Punisher, you want to put a bullet through this guy's head immediately.
No. I said the Russian.
I know. That's what I'm saying. If you're the Punisher, you want to put a bullet through Punisher, that guy's head immediately.
Yeah, because he's wearing you don't look good. Striped shirts don't look good on comic book characters or real human beings.
No, Brett, cover yours.
I think the Sandman would disagree.
Santa also looks good.
I was thinking it. I just didn't say it because like he that. He did go under gender reassignment surgery soon after that first story arc. So I don't think that striped t-shirt is in his wardrobe anymore. So we can forgive him that.
And you know what
I
got to say?
Amazing that you just threw that in there.
That uniform almost, but now I'm going to bring up the one that I really think. When I talk about dorkiest characters, guys, isn't the dorkiest character ever Spider-Man? And honest to God, isn't that the whole point? He's a high school geek. Nothing ever goes right for him. He had the spider van. Dork.
Yep.
Was there a spider van? I know there was a spider mobile that was a dune buggy that if I had the money, I'd buy today.
It was a controversial Ultima Comics story, Chris. It was Spider-Man in the white panel van. Strangely, Bleeding Cool decided not to cover it. Which is quite a shock.
I don't remember the spider. It was like this van. It was like Batman gets like this souped up cool car. And Spider-Man had like this cube van that was like painted like a spider, but it was, I don't know why he needs it because he can swing.
And it always looped down
he had
by
a dune buggy, man.
There was a toy of that. I'm not sure it was ever in the comic.
It was in the comic.
I remember the dune buggy.
You know what's going to be this picture?
Totally.
You know,
this
show's
buggy.
Picture now. Spider-Man, the spider van.
Okay.
It was like if we were trying to be subtle, driving around in a massive cube van painted like Spider-Man, let's not do it. If you're trying to be stealthy, it did not work. It was an awful thing. Spider-Man, guys, don't you think he is the dorkiest character ever?
Spider-Man?
I love him for it, but he's dorky.
What's wrong with you?
That's the whole point, though. He's a dork.
Oh, punch him in the face.
He's cool. I think
I disagree.
Completely wrong there.
He's a cool dork.
He's got a cool job, sexy girlfriend.
His human identity is a dork, but Spider-Man the Hero is not a dork.
Spider-Man the Hero's had some dork moments. I give you the Spider-Man. You wait. It'll be the picture for this show is going to be the Spider-Man. I will find it.
And if it's not, I want the Spider-Mobile up if you can't find it, man.
You got to find a panel though. It can't just be a picture of the toy or something like that. You got to find a panel of it.
Well, maybe it was just a Spider-Mobile and it was the Dune buggy, but I don't think so. I think it was the Spider-Man.
Yeah. He shared ownership with the human dork.
He had to share. He's a superhero. He's a superhero and needs a roommate. I mean, come on.
What? They're two 16-year-old kids in that story, man. They can't have their own vehicles.
They're not 16.
When he had the Spider-Mobile, he was.
Actually, they're probably both the same age, you're right. Amazing Spider-Man. Yes, there it is. I found it. Yep. Well, actually, that may not be real. This might just be my memory.
I tell you, it's got to be a panel. Totally got to be.
I will find it. Oh.
We talk comics. Mo made up.
Next episode of the week, Mo makes up stuff.
Hey, what would be the difference?
Hey, boys. This episode, I'm really sorry. Mo makes up.
Okay. You don't want to stick around. We're only going to go about 10 more minutes talking about who still needs a movie.
No, I know. I've got to book it.
You got to book it. All right.
Farewell, good night, Duker.
Sorry, boys. Good sorry night. I contributed absolutely nothing to your podcast tonight.
Oh, that's what we expected when you were invited in.
Wow. That hurts my feeling.
Not really.
Your feeling?
Yeah.
Singular.
Yeah.
I only have one. That's good.
There it is.
I hope to talk to you guys again at some point.
Yeah. Well, we're the same way, but hey. All right, have a good night, Duker, and we're going to move on then. Any other dorky comic characters we want to talk to, or are we just going to hit the movies real quick here?
Youngblood? Is Youngblood count as dorky?
Yes.
As a whole?
Yeah. Yes.
I think we've wandered around whether they're intentionally dorky or unintentionally dorky. So intentionally dorky, the entire cast of the Justice League International, including the Injustice League, and what's his name? Scarlet Racer.
Oh yeah, Speedster. I feel like that's
the one. Great Lakes Avengers suck, by the way. Just saying.
They are dorky. They are totally dorky.
Duker can't figure it out.
Like Justice League Antarctica, you know?
Oh, Justice League.
Squirrel Girl is cool. I don't care what anyone else says. I can lose the rest of the Great Lakes Avengers, but I love Squirrel Girl.
I love Justice League Antarctica.
And I love her more recent Avengers appearance.
All right. Unintentionally dorky, US-1 takes the cake.
US-1? Which one was he?
Ivan Superhero. Who got a car accident when the evil trucker ran him off the road and needed to get a metal plate in his head that gave him superpowers. It's awesome.
How many issues is that?
I was like nine.
I might have to go.
I don't even think it's
I'm true. Checking the Marvel app to see if I got that one for free.
I'm guessing if Team America's not on there, they have not got the US-1.
Amazing. All right, guys.
Team America, I think, was part of had a Evil Knievel license or something to it.
Something like that, yeah.
All right, guys, let's talk a little bit about who still needs a movie. Because this kind of came up. There was a blog I read, somebody talking about who still needs a movie, and I thought his choices were terrible. Given that, I thought maybe we would talk about it for a little bit here. A lot of movies have been hit. I was trying to think of Marvel characters who still need a movie. And that's a lot more difficult to me. I mean, it's easy to come up with DC characters, it seems. You throw out different DC characters because not as many of them have been, but have happened. Marvel, on the other hand, characters that still need a movie, I struggle with a little bit. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I have tons on Marvel.
Okay, well, who do you think?
Number one for me would be Machine Man. a character that's never been used properly, but I think could be developed into the most kick-ass series, movie series ever. Of course, I also think Troll Girl would make a pretty good series, so I might be in the minority on this one.
Hey, you were just talking about how much you like Squirrel Girl.
Yeah, I didn't say she needed a movie, though.
See, I don't know about Machine Man. I don't know that it translates to a movie to me. Part of the thing about something like Machine Man is maybe it does work, and we've seen this with Blade. It doesn't have to be, I suppose, a character that is well known. But I think the fact that that's a character nobody knows certainly hurts it, and that's why I wouldn't have it on my list. But yeah.
Okay. How about X-23? I think X-23 would make a great movie. You divorce some of the Wolverine continuity and like that, and I think she could make a strong character in a movie.
Okay, Keith, Brett, what do you guys think of what Chris is throwing out there?
I don't think you do divorce it. I think you do it like Birds of Prey, the TV show, and you do like silhouette Wolverine. You got the claws, flick flick, and then you never talk about him again. So like she lives in the shadow of the person she was cloned from. But yeah, I think it'd be an interesting. I think maybe it's a TV show. Maybe it's not a film, though.
I think, you know, Machine Man would probably be better as a TV show as well. But
see, I mean, I guess again, when I look at this, I think of characters who still need it. Not that's different. I mean, these are characters I'd love to see as a movie. That's not the same as characters who still need one. Characters who still need one, to me, is more like the characters who are obvious. Characters who still need a movie. Characters who are obvious but haven't gotten it yet. So I look at someone like Machine Man, and I wasn't even thinking something like that. And I think that's part of the reason why I couldn't find anybody in Marvel. Characters who still need a movie. That's the way I was thinking of it. I'm not saying that you're wrong in what you're doing here. That's the way I was viewing it, is characters who still need one. Characters who should have had one already because it's obvious.
Fantastic Four need a movie.
No, they already had one.
They've had three.
Yeah, I didn't see Fantastic Four or Doom in that movie, man.
They've had three. And there's some version of all of them are in some version of those movies. Hank Pym. Some version of Hank Pym.
Well, Hank Pym is going to show up here in Captain America. Does that mean he needs a movie?
Do not know that.
Well, that's the rumor.
With it, Ant-Man is the rumor. But
yeah, that's true. I come back to the idea of Doctor Strange, just because people have been talking about it forever. But I would never want to see a Doctor Strange movie. I've never been a character. What's that?
Yeah, but you got this weird prejudice against Doctor Strange. You've always hated Doctor Strange.
I don't hate
him. I love Doctor Strange.
I don't know that it makes a great movie.
He's had a movie.
Yes, he has, and I reviewed it.
I don't count the animated movie.
There's a live action.
No.
There is totally a live action, yeah.
Well, that's right, in the 70s.
And it's off.
Yeah, but TV movie.
But it does exist.
Yeah, it does exist.
I would love to see Ms. Marvel. I think she'd make a good movie.
That's Captain. Show some respect.
Yeah, I think you have to explain Captain Marvel then. And yeah. There's a better movie.
I don't think you do.
Make her a captain in the Air Force. Bob's your uncle.
Yeah. There you go. Yeah, absolutely. Call her whatever Marvel you like.
Interesting a character that you want to explore more? I don't think so. I always see her as a cipher for somebody else. It's just, I don't find her that interesting.
Well, use your Unlimited app to try the new Kelly Sue DeHonick book. Give that a read.
I made it.
Enjoy
issues. I'll get around to that one. I just, yeah, the first couple reads on that I didn't get anything out of.
Yeah, but I've never dug that character either. Who's the biggest property Marvel has left that doesn't have a movie? Is it Doctor Strange? Because that's kind of pathetic, isn't it? Or is maybe that a good thing? That means they've used everybody. Like, they don't have a big property left, and everybody's like a character that everybody knows that they haven't tried, do they?
No, I mean, when you look at it, I mean, Big Hero 6 has a movie coming out next year. Marvel team that, quite frankly, when they announced it, I had to look up.
For recognition.
So they are definitely.
recognizable character, though. I mean, Marvel's bench is not that deep. I mean, there's a lot of characters. There's that tens of thousands of characters in Marvel. But for ones that, you know, the average kid is going to recognize, they're pretty thin. Huh. You know, outside of the ones we've already seen, you know, who have been adapted in some version for 50 years, you know, Thor and Captain America and Submariner. I mean, Submariner hasn't had a movie. He's probably at the highest profile because from the cartoon.
Well, maybe. That's true. I mean, they've really used up everybody. The Punisher, Daredevil, all the Avengers, the X-Men characters have been out there. Fantastic Four, Paraman and Iron Fist. I want to see his Paraman and Iron Fist. I don't want to see them individually, but again, nobody really knows them.
They could work with Heroes for Hire though too.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Ray Park has been.
I want to see them both have their own movie.
Ray Park has been queued up for that movie for like 10 years now.
Oh, probably longer.
I think
we were still working together when I got hurt about that, Keith.
I think opening weekend of Phantom Menace is when they,
exactly.
Signed the offer.
I got excited about it then. Yeah. Well, I mean, I think it's a difficult property to. I think it would work better for him with Luke Cage. I don't think it works as well for him individually. I just don't see it. Same thing with Cage. I mean, I like Cage, but I don't see him. I think he would work better with Iron Fist. But then again, how actually recognizable and sellable is it? So, anybody got any others that they think is really, really interesting?
No.
How about DC?
How about DC, Mo?
Yeah, DC has a ton, right? I mean, the first one that pops in my head is The Flash and Wonder Woman.
No, and I think, I mean, the reason for this, though, has to be said, is they just produce Superman and Batman all the time, and they don't ever delve into this huge back catalog they have.
Yeah, it's really funny. You know, you're looking at DC, and you're going, they have these characters everybody knows. Everybody knows The Flash. Everybody knows Wonder Woman. Marvel won't sit there with characters like that and leave them on the bench. Like, they're putting out Guardians of the Galaxy. They sure as hell aren't leaving a Wonder Woman on the bench if they had her.
Yeah, and I mean, it extends beyond their superhero stuff. How many Vertigo properties do they have that have never been developed?
Oh, God, they managed those so poorly. Like, the heartbreaking story of Brian Wood talking about DMC and how many times he found out that there were like at least two or three different times that people were ready to buy an option on it and Vertigo couldn't get their act together to clear the rights. Because there's some convoluted stuff with the way the Vertigo creator owned stuff works.
Yeah, who cares? Just get it done.
Oh, it was heartbreaking. It's why Brian Wood has gone to Dark Horse. And is doing massive there is because he found out that DMZ should have been something already.
And here's Robert Venditti when he was working with Top Shelf getting Surrogates done like that, right?
Yeah.
Yes, but crazy. Completely out of fluke.
Yeah, but still. Still.
Of course. I mean, I do have to say perhaps Vertigo would have spoken up and prevented a Jack Black, Muckluck Wolf's Breath from even being discussed. That was such a bad concept. I hated that so much.
Hey, look, if Terry LeBand liked him for the role, then you gotta like him for the role.
Terry LeBand would have gotten a nice house out of the deal.
And Terry LeBand liked him for the role, so. I liked him for the role too when I heard it. I thought, oh, that would work.
I don't think he's a bad choice there at all.
It's just you, Chris. Again.
You are the closest to the whole thing, though.
No, Terry LeBand is the closest to the whole thing.
He is the closest. He did not have a problem with it. That's for sure.
But Chris is a close second.
That's neck and neck. So who else? How about DC? What else are characters outside of the big two? Is there anybody who you're like, oh, that needs a movie? Like, why doesn't that have a movie?
Shazam would rock. I mean,
Shazam would rock. Yeah, I mean, Shazam actually would play better as a movie than it does as a comic book.
Captain Marvel is widely considered to be one, if not the best movie serial ever made. And it's been made as a cartoon, but we've never seen him back on the big screen.
Martian Manhunter might be good too. I mean, I think he's kind of growing in in popularity and knowledge, at least. So,
Lobo's the movie that's been planned since, I think, the late 80s. That's never happened and hopefully never will.
Well, it won't now. I mean, if they couldn't get it off the
ground. They still talk about it. Like, every 6 months I still hear Lobo in development.
Yes, but if they couldn't put it on, you know, on the big screen back when he was hyper-popular, then I don't think they're going to do it now.
DC, it's amazing. DC all these years, Warner Brothers, right there. And yet so much trouble. It's unreal that they can't get these things off the ground.
Well, maybe now that they have their own division devoted to some of this stuff, it might come to fruition. I'm not sure with the Green Lantern movie how involved the actual DC Properties Development Division was involved in that, that set it up by Geoff Johns. I'm interested in seeing what happens in the future. We could be turning a corner. Unfortunately, I do think Man of Steel doing so well at the box office may be a hindrance for them, because
how could that be a hindrance? It looks like it's going to end up as the third highest grossing movie of the year. Like, how is that a hindrance? Keith also has a curious look on his face, wanting you to explain this.
If Man of Steel is going to be a hindrance for doing well, then Jonah Hex should have been freaking gold.
No. DC, I feel, is going to want to spin it off of Man of Steel. And grow from there. And I don't think Man of Steel.
Why can't they do both?
I don't think because they won't. They just won't. You know they won't. They never do. This is a company I feel that has a very narrow vision. If you're spinning off of Man of Steel, I don't think that movie had too many places left to go.
That does remind me.
It has two obvious places to go. One, actually do a Superman story, because what we had is a Clark Kent movie. And two, Jor-El, kick-ass scientist. That's what you got. You got a prequel and a sequel.
Yes, but I don't want to see the Justice League spun out of that, which is what everyone's talking about. That I think that would be.
I didn't think they were doing that. I thought Justice League was being developed as his own property still.
No, Justice League would be tied to it was contingent on Man of Steel doing well.
Oh, okay.
That they will.
My entire point.
Yeah.
Well, at least that would introduce the. I mean, I would think you'd be better off doing what Marvel did and introducing the characters first and then putting them in Justice League. But maybe you introduce them in Justice League and then you have the Wonder Woman, the Flash, and Aquaman movies. Maybe it's a stronger franchise then. Who knows?
No, I don't see it working that way.
It could be. Well, either way, I do have some big news. I forgot to mention this during the news. Actually, I don't know if you guys heard this. This is huge. I don't want to say I'm breaking it because it is on the internet. But I'm looking at the news right now here, and it looks like Christian Bale will not return as Batman. What are your thoughts on that, guys?
Well, that's it. I'm out. I'm not seeing any more movies ever. No,
it's breaking news. Breaking news. Printed February 2nd, 2011. Breaking news. Christian Bale not be returning as Batman.
I need to sell my Hollywood Stock Exchange options on Christian Bale.
So what are the best properties outside of the big two for a big screen adaptation?
Question.
Youngblood?
What's that? Brett?
Youngblood.
You just love Bad Rock. Keith, because you take this seriously, what were you going to say?
I have no idea what I was going to say.
I thought you were going to say she.
Well, he said the question.
Is it shy? I said the question. I was thinking outside of the Justice League. We're moving outside of Marvel and DC, is what you're saying.
Well, yeah, I mean, yeah.
Yes. There are other comics that aren't produced.
There are other comics. And you know what? I mean, would Peter Pan's house make for a great movie? Or is it not work as a movie? Like, I don't know that it works as a movie.
It's going to be a wonderful TV show is what it's going to be.
Yeah.
I'd love them to see them return to the world of the mask.
Yeah, but he doesn't need one, though, because the last mask movie was, 7 years ago?
I didn't see
Son of. Yeah, a whole lot more, I think.
I didn't see Son.
Son of Mask? I don't think it was that long ago.
Wow.
Seven, 8 years? Brett, look it up. When was Son of Mask come out?
Oh.
That's why I said look it up. I didn't think you had it off the top of your head.
I want to...
Echo.
How about...
Pardon me?
Echo would be amazing. That could Echo. Be a really, yeah. Yeah, Terry Moore's Echo.
Oh, okay.
I think there is an option on right now, but yeah, because it is a contained story. It'd have to be hacked all the pieces because it's 30 issues long to make one movie. But
for me, the obvious one, Torso. Never saw that Torso as a movie that was licensed all those years ago. Bendis is one of his first works, and
it was picked up about a month ago again, thankfully.
Was it? That would be a fantastic movie. That was always going to be. It gave us that great Power and Glory graphic novel, and I always thought Torso. I mean, that to me is like the property out there that's like been pissing me off for years that we never got as the film.
2005, by the way.
2005. So that's 8 years ago.
Okay.
So yeah,
I'd like to see Five Weapons.
Oh, Five Weapons is a movie. I think that could work. Yeah. Actually, Bomb Queen could work as a movie, too.
I'd also like to see Bomb Queen, yeah.
Yeah, Bomb Queen could work as a movie. Have to be X-rated, but I'd be into it.
How about some of the old Vertigo prop, or not Vertigo, Dr. Solar and Turok?
Yeah, I think that, yeah, actually these properties are now over at Dark Horse, aren't they?
Yep.
Yeah, no, I think they
are. Yeah, I wanted to see Valiant there, but I didn't.
Both of those would make for really good films. Magnus Robot Fighter. Yeah, I mean, why not? I think those would be just as fine films as... I think if you're looking for recognizable properties that are comic book related that have never been turned into properties that you think you can make into a franchise or even a universe, that these work.
And you have to remember with Turok, you have a huge fan base outside of the comic books. It's recognizable to video game fans. He had a huge following at one time, not anymore, in video games.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So, those are big games, which brings up next week's show. We're going to mention it right now. We'll be doing some retro gaming based on comic books. That'll be next week's topic, and so it'll be a little bit of homework for us guys, but for you. But we're going to be talking about some of the retro games. Maybe we'll even look into the Turok. Son of Stone game that came out for the N64. Valiant has a Quantum of Woody, Archer and Armstrong, but Brett, would EXO make a good movie?
I think EXO would make a better movie than Quantum and Woody.
Really?
I think Bloodshot would make a better movie than all of them.
Bloodshot could be a great movie if they did it right, yeah. Absolutely. And Ninjak, Chris, wouldn't it make a great movie?
You betcha.
Ninjas any day of the week.
And then the sequel, American Ninjak.
Yeah.
The Last Ninjak.
All right, guys. Any other movies we want to throw out there? Are we going to call this topic and move on to the next segment?
I would love to see Gotham City Police Department as a TV show.
Totally as a TV show.
Oh, that would be awesome.
If there are about four Gotham characters, I'd love to see... Gotham Central characters, I'd love to see get their own movies, never mind a whole movie centered around the Gotham Police Department.
Let's put them all in an HBO show.
Yeah, that would be tremendous.
Hard-drinking James Gordon running the GCPD.
Can we get Rucka to write it? Probably not.
Probably not.
but it would be tremendous.
I can't see that happening.
I just want to say...
Green Country is another one I'd love to see.
The character that I think would be, Brett, I know, what is it, Bill Willingham's, escaping me.
Fable,
sorry, as a, like an HBO show, right?
Oh yeah, Fables as a TV program would be amazing.
Like HBO or something, yeah, it'd be, or yeah. Showtime or whatever, it'd be amazing. As a visual, I think there's nobody I want to see on screen more than the Spectre. I think he could be incredibly cool as a visual. But then again, I also thought Galactus and Silver Surfer would look great on the screen. And look how that turned out. Silver Surfer didn't look bad, but Galactus...
Silver Surfer did look awesome, I think.
Yeah, Silver Surfer looked pretty good, but Galactus, I was so looking... And look how that turned out. Well,
They didn't put him in short pants, though. I mean, yeah. If Galactus was in short pants, that movie would have been awesome.
Exactly.
It was doomed from the beginning.
Yeah. Well, it's closer to the Ultimate version. And which works in the Ultimate Universe, but not there. All right, let's move on. Brett, do your plugs.
All right, Brett, that's Brett underscore We Talk on the Twitter. Got a couple of numbers game columns coming out next week. That'll be for Marvel and the Independents. Week after that, we'll be seeing the Access All Ages with talk about the whole Marvel thing going on. So lots of, and I'll even talk about the new adventures of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, because who doesn't like to talk about that? I do.
Yeah, I read that too, Brett. I think that's a good book for kids.
It's a fun book. It's a great series. I love the series.
Yeah, I know. It's a good kids book. I wouldn't read it as an adult, but I'd be happy to give that to a kid. Keith, plugs.
All right. Well, you can follow me on Twitter. I am CubReporterK on Twitter. And, as usual, writing the odd review and such for Comicosity.
Chris, comic book attraction this week?
No, but if you need a full dose of Chris movie goodness, I did guest over on Across the Airwaves podcast. And, you'll get more than your fair share of what comic book attractions really is. We really dissected that movie into its infinite
Man of Steel, you mean, right?
Pieces.
You didn't say the movie.
Man of Steel.
Yeah.
And sorry, Chris, I invited Chris to join me on that show and then had to cancel myself, but Chris was able to do the whole show. Our buddy Matt and I recorded about 15 minutes that is tacked on to the end as a to balance the hour and 40 minutes of people who didn't like the movie. We've got 14 minutes of two guys who did.
It really was supposed to be a debate in the whole, you guys to show up with the ones who really didn't love it.
They needed you on there another time. All right, and I'm Mo underscore We Talk, and email us at Comics and We Talk Podcast. Make sure to check out Comicosity. And that's it. We're OUT.